From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The GOP has stripped longtime Republican Congressman Steve King of his leadership role in the House Judiciary and Agriculture Committees. The drastic action came in the wake of comments that King had made in a New York Times interview last week, where he said, "White nationalist, white supremacist, Western civilization, how did that language become offensive?" He later said he was a nationalist and defended, quote, Western civilization's values, but that he was not a backer of white nationalist and white supremacist ideas. It is strange that the GOP is only now discovering King's racism. The Times explained that King, quote, helped write the book on white identity politics that are ascendant in Mr. Trump's Republican Party. And King himself boasted, "Yes, Mr. President, I market-tested your immigration policy for 14 years, and that ought to be worth something." King has been elected 9 times in his district in Iowa. My guest is Christina Lopez. She's the Deputy Director of Extremism at the group Media Matters. Welcome to the program, Christina.
Thank you so much for having me.
So first, let's talk about what he said in the actual New York Times article. It almost sounded like he revealed his true self and then realized that it was going to become politicized and tried to backtrack, but it was too late. He wondered out loud why the words white supremacist should be offensive. But this is kind of par for the course for Steve King, isn't it? For those who've been paying attention to what he's been saying for years.
That's exactly correct, Sonali. I feel like the backlash is what the only thing that is new, not necessarily the statement, not necessarily the direct quote that he said. It is the backlash that this piece brought, what is absolutely new in terms of breaking news for Steve King. He actually said a version of that, with very similar wording, just last year when he was about to get reelected to the House. He told an Iowa local station that he didn't understand why the term white nationalist had become derogatory. And this was in the context of him endorsing a white supremacist in her run for mayor in Toronto. So what we're seeing here is that it is the backlash that the GOP, that Steve King, are recently responding to, not necessarily the wordings and definitely not the actions.
It's interesting because in his response to the New York Times that he tweeted a statement, and he said, "The New York Times is suggesting that I am an advocate for white nationalism and white supremacy. I want to make one thing abundantly clear. I reject those labels and the evil ideology that they define." He sort of went on to say that he is an advocate for Western civilization's values, but that this conviction does not, quote, make me a white nationalist or a white supremacist. What do you make of this attempt by him to thread the needle on his racism?
Well, this is absolutely an attempt of PR, of trying to sanitize the image that he actually has spent years and years creating and building for himself. The fact of the matter is that the statement seems weak when you realize that Steve King has been consuming himself white supremacist media, and not only consuming it, but also amplifying it and sanitizing it by mainstreaming it to bigger audiences. Just last year, we have multiple examples of Steve King retweeting and amplifying the thoughts of actual white supremacists, of and therefore consuming white supremacist media. So when you put that in contrast with the statement comes across as weak tea, seriously.
Right. I mean, anyone who's been paying attention to the words that he's been saying for years is not at all surprised that he is a racist white supremacist. The GOP, in ignoring that racism and white supremacism, has also tainted themselves with his brush. They've allowed him to continue. They have not denounced him in the past in any way that was that was substantial. Why now? Why did his comments in the New York Times all of a sudden result in him losing the leadership positions that he had in the House Judiciary Committee, the House Agriculture Committee?
Evidently, what changed and what became really costly for the GOP was the backlash. And the backlash could have not happened if there hadn't been at least a degree of media attention. The issue, though, is that whenever these instances of white supremacist episodes happened around Steve King, the coverage was met with very little attention from mainstream media. And that's part of the problem, because it is, in fact, like mainstream media giving the GOP a pass for not caring that they have a white supremacist among the ranks. And so this changed a little bit. And even though it took a while for mainstream media to pay attention to his words on the New York Times, finally some coverage started happening, some momentum was gained, and it just became untenable for the GOP to not do anything. And so this is what was a little bit of what was behind their actions, that for the first time there was substantial backlash. The issue, though, is that you also have a little of a complicit role of mainstream media here in wanting to avoid calling things what they are. And then the issue is that white supremacy, you cannot call it by a different name in efforts to sanitize it. And so for a long time, you had a lot of news outlets kind of resisting the idea that you have to call racism by its name, you know, call a racist comment racist, as opposed to racially tinted or all
racialized. That's my favorite, racialized.
All the euphemisms that surround what should be a frank and honest conversation about extremism in this country. So you saw just Tuesday that it was leaked that NBC News was not sure how to address the Steve King episode and was calling on its journalists to avoid using racist or white supremacist, instead asking for journalists to put the onus of doing that on other people by saying you're allowed to quote other people calling it racist by saying what some people are calling racist. That's again putting the onus of fighting extremism often in the communities that are most affected by it.
And that's NBC? That's not even Fox News that was doing that?
NBC News, it leaked on Tuesday that they, in an email, they had asked journalists to avoid and refrain from calling the instances, the racist comments, racist. And so you have that kind of trying to distance themselves from calling things what they are. And so by doing this, they are giving a pass to the GOP. And so the GOP can avoid dealing with the extremism within the ranks. And it's also why it took so long. Because this was not, as you very well mentioned earlier, this is not the first instance of Steve King openly embracing and endorsing white supremacy, both by his actions, his policies, the people he endorsed politically, like white supremacists in Toronto, the media that he was very clearly consuming, because you can tell by who he chose to retweet on his own Twitter feed. The instances that all these happened and that the GOP never acted have a lot to do with media's kind of resisting their role of calling things what they are. And one of the outlets that actually did really well when it comes to Steve King was the HuffPost. Because consistently, as a lot more coverage and substance emerged of Steve King, you know, kind of just openly endorsing white supremacy and white supremacist rhetoric and openly saying, you know, last year in an Iowa local outlet that he didn't understand why it was now derogatory to say white nationalist. He didn't understand why that was a derogatory term. The HuffPost was covering these instances and very clearly naming them for what they are, white supremacy, and also mentioning how none of these episodes seem to carry any consequence for Steve King within his own party.
He did, by the way, it should be mentioned, win re-election in 2018 by the smallest margin that he has so far been able to get that seat. Now, the original New York Times article, I thought, which sort of started this whole thing, was quite effective at bringing it out. The writer of that article, Tripp Gabriel, and that article came out January 10th, interviewed Steve King in order to showcase the fact that this lawmaker, GOP lawmaker, had written the original playbook that Trump is now has been using for the past few years, that Steve King was one of the earliest to effectively use dog whistle politics and use this sort of racist language, whip up anti-immigrant frenzy. What do you make of that piece itself? To me, that was good journalism. The author managed to get this man to speak freely and truthfully about his views.
And that is the sort of analysis that I think like we deserve in the age of these policies becoming a lot more mainstream. That is a sort of role that media in general should be fulfilling, of not only, you know, reporting that this is a policy that the administration is moving towards, but also kind of digging a little bit and figuring out, you know, what inspired these policies? Where are they coming from? What's the data that they're using? And they would find that not only people like Steve King have inspired this, also data is being taken from think tanks that have nativist origins, that were founded by white nationalists. And so you start seeing that it's not just an isolated incident, but that there is also a whole infrastructure behind it, an extremist infrastructure behind it, that has offered coverage and also that has inspired a lot of the policies that we are now seeing just espoused by the administration. So this is a great instance, like you said, of media digging a little deeper and going into, you know, what's behind that and what inspired, what brought us here. And so that piece was very, very illuminating. Another thing that was illuminating about it is that you realize that we're having this conversation of white supremacy in the context of immigration coverage. You are starting to see how it's impossible to separate the radically anti-immigrant rhetoric that we are listening to and that we're hearing from the white supremacy and the white supremacist kind of intentions behind it that motivate them. And so this is also something to keep in mind when we're thinking about the role of the media and how it's becoming really, really hard to talk about immigration and offer substantive analysis to audiences without talking about white supremacy and its influence and who are the main conduits to from white supremacists to the president. And in this case, that was something that the New York Times did really well.
Right. They actually used the word racist several times in the article, referring to King's racist remarks. So actually went ahead and used that term quite directly. How did the rest of the media cover it? It seemed like there was a big lag time in coverage of Steve King's racist comments. And I know that Media Matters showed that the right-wing media in particular spent far more time covering the coarse language that Representative Rashida Tlaib used in relation to impeaching Donald Trump than in covering Steve King's racism.
And you see, that is a great case study of what particularly Fox News, which, as you know, has the ear of the president, that is the network that the president mostly consumes and receives information from.
And consults for policy, apparently, correct. Policy recommendations.
His advisors. And you see, this is a great case study of what Fox News finds unacceptable and what it finds acceptable, you know, and what they prioritize and the way that they cover the stuff that they prioritize. You totally can see which things to them are unacceptable. It's for Fox News, it's unacceptable for a congresswoman, elected congresswoman, to curse at the president. But the white supremacy and the many instances of documented white supremacy of an elected official, of a sitting congressman, are perfectly acceptable. You just see it in the way that they prioritize the coverage the day after both events happened. Mm-hmm. And then the other issue is that once they did mention it, they framed it in a way that sounded as if there were two sides to the story, as opposed to this is what happened. Steve King had white supremacist comments to say. The New York Times quoted him directly. The way that they framed the story was, well, you know, he's fighting back. He's fighting back at the New York Times, instead of show as if there could be two sides possibly to this story. And now you see a couple days after, finally, mainstream media kind of picked up their coverage, because at first it was very, very slow. And then it seemed as if no one was very interested or no one wanted to touch the story. And once the rest of the media picked up with their coverage, you see that even today, and the days after these events took place, the days, you know, Monday, Steve King was stripped from his membership in the different committees. And then on Tuesday, Fox and Friends, which is the show that the president watches the most, barely dedicated any mentions to it. It was mere seconds. They read it as a headline that on Monday this had happened. And so you start seeing that there is an entire propaganda arm and an entire arm of the media that is complicit in sanitizing this sort of extremism by, you know, not holding people accountable for it.
Now, Christina, what do you make of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's response to Steve King? She has, by the way, been found to have the most incredibly impressive social media engagement that a recent analysis found, that's second only to Trump himself. This freshman congresswoman, only been on the job 2 weeks, has been able to hit back at the racist trolls so effectively, much more effectively than her colleagues in the Democratic Party. And then also just calling out people like Steve King. She said King's district should start working to replace him in 2020, regardless of party. It's not good for a district if their representative has such reprehensible views that they aren't allowed to touch legislation with a 10-foot pole. You know, she said freedom of speech does not mean freedom from consequences. I thought her response was quite effective. If there's a lawmaker who's so controversial that he's not allowed to be in committees to affect legislation, what's he even doing in Congress?
I think that the use of social media for those effects is extremely powerful. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has found what a powerful tool that is, and has, you know, she only has to put certain things on the table via social media, and mainstream media kind of follows through and picks it up. So that's a very effective way of putting, you know, item discussions on the agenda that media would otherwise ignore. Now it's getting a lot harder for media to ignore that Steve King is a white supremacist and that he was reelected for the ninth time to Congress, when you have one of the most adept persons in the House of Representatives using her big platform to do the job that media hasn't done. And so I think that that was very, very effective. And then the other aspect of it is that you will notice that she mentions the free speech, you know, that has been King's line of defense. And this is important to point out, because it's also the line of defense that a lot of white supremacists and a lot of extremists are using in order to get away with hate speech. And this is a line of defense that you hear constantly, even after you show that words matter and that hateful speech has an effect and has the power to inspire radical extremists into action and resulting in violence and the deaths of, you know, targeted minorities and targeted groups. And so to call out the free speech, you know, kind of tactic, because it is been used as a very effective tactic, galvanizing right-wing media sometimes to protect actual extremists, that calling that out was very important. And hopefully, you know, media will follow through.
Now, the whole point of that original New York Times article was to show that Steve King had written the playbook by which Trump ended up in the presidency, if Steve King is going to be censured by his own colleagues for his racist language in the Congress, why are the GOP members of Congress silent on Trump's own racism, on his own white supremacist language and views? He has proudly said he is a nationalist, just like Steve King has.
The issue, though, is that there is, and this is, again, something that you can point fingers and you can point at the role that Fox News has had in completely galvanizing and pulling the entire, an entire spectrum of our politics towards extremism, not only by providing a very useful propaganda arm for the very extremist views that the president himself holds on immigration, but also by reinforcing them and just feeding into his ear, like you mentioned before, like the role that the Fox News advisory team has in terms of being able to influence the president. So you're hearing that the administration is willing to maintain a record long government shutdown over anti-immigrant policies, but you see that there is no flexibility because you have an entire media arm that is galvanized in efforts to defend this. And so when you create such a megaphone like Fox News, a lot of people who might not feel that way, who might be more towards moderation, are going to move to the extreme just to get a word in, because Fox News at the end of the day has become just a direct line that they have with the base, with their political base.
Right. Well, Christina, where can people read the analysis that you and others have done at Media Matters on Steve King and related issues?
You can find it at mediamatters.org.
And we'll link to that from our website. Christina, thank you so much for spending this time with us.
It was my pleasure.
Christina Lopez is the Deputy Director of Extremism at Media Matters. We've been discussing Steve King's racism. He is the representative from Iowa who has now been barred from being in congressional committees. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on Instagram at RU with Sonali.